seems that it's been in the news, and it's kind of been in the news cycle for several years. We're not talking about something that's just recently in the news. It's not breaking news. It's kind of all the time news. And that's been kind of the discussion of vaccines and the link to autism, and is there one, is there not one? There's certainly folks on both sides of the spectrum, and you've lived this. You've lived this yourself. You're not just in the discussion. You're part of the discussion, right?
Right, right. Not by choice, but I will always be part of the discussion because my second child had a severe reaction to the pertussis, in the P in the DPT, and ended up with a brain injury. And the other pieces that go with that are mental retardation, autism, and seizures. And this isn't just something I'm saying. We actually went through the government's vaccine court, something that's set up, anyone can find it, to take care of children that are damaged or killed by vaccines. We filed a claim and had all of the government doctors and lawyers look through all our medical records, and they did acknowledge he was brain damaged by his vaccine.
So, I mean, what do you do when you get that information and you're sitting there and you're thinking, I'm trying to do what's right for my kid, and this is where we wind up? There has to be a pretty strong level of frustration.
Absolutely. So what do I do with the information in terms of winning the case or in terms of that there is a side effect to these medications?
Well, I guess first and foremost, just dealing with the personal frustration before you even get to the lawsuit part of it. I mean, that's really an outgrowth of what you had to live through and what you are living through.
Yeah, I mean, it was devastating. And anyone, even who's been a caregiver for other conditions, Alzheimer's, someone with disabilities, would relate to this and would relate to the book. It's overwhelming physically, emotionally. And as a parent, you know, this is a child that was 4 months old, totally healthy, my second child, and suddenly we're launched into the world of hospitals, of working with the insurance companies, which was a disaster. And, you know, just the day in and day out grueling and totally unpredictable life of having a child with a severe medical problem where at the drop of a hat as you're grocery shopping, he has a seizure and you're, you know, in an ambulance going to the ICU. It was really devastating. It was incredibly painful and hard, and something that took me years to write about because of the trauma the family went through with that.
And then you go through the court part of it, and I think that there's a certain group of folks that immediately when somebody files a lawsuit, they think, oh gosh, you know, there's automatically a group against you just because you're filing a lawsuit. Without even really looking at what the situation is and why the suit is being filed.
That's exactly right. And, you know, if you knew me, I am not a lawsuit kind of a person. And just to clarify, it's not a lawsuit in the sense of where anybody is suing a doctor or a health system or even a pharmaceutical company. What this is every time you have a vaccine administered, you pay a little bit of money that goes into a big fund called a compensation fund, and it's a pool of money. There's $3 billion in it right now set aside to take care of people that are injured by vaccines. So it's not a if people are injured, it's when people are injured. You can go on the CDC website and see all the side effects, see about the system. But you're right. It can feel like you're immediately labeled as being a nutbird or hysterical, and nothing could be further from the truth. We just wanted to get help with our child's medical needs because of, you know, doing what we were supposed to do and getting him vaccinated. No money goes to the parents. It never does, and nor would I want money from this. It goes purely to take care of their medical therapy and other needs.
So you write a book. As I'm looking at the steps, and obviously you go from everything's wonderful to terrible news to going through the court process of it all. You know, how do you get from that to deciding I should write a book or being coerced into writing a book?
Yeah, absolutely, and I wasn't coerced. I got to a point where I really wanted to start reaching out and connecting with other parents on this topic in two different ways. One is the straightforward connecting with other parents, sharing my own experience, strengths, and hope relative to going through a vaccine injury. But the other piece is there's just a common connection we have when we go through a medical experience that leads to a lot of suffering in the family. That's the downside. There's a side also that was filled with grace in this whole experience, which was connecting to other people, learning a number of things as we went through it. And today, you know, what my son as a disabled young man has taught the rest of the family in ways he's deepened and enriched our lives, which I couldn't even begin to understand when we started this process.
So now where are you? I mean, are you giving folks advice or, what are you working on now?
Yeah, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a psychologist. And so I'm not giving advice in terms of being a call-in doctor show or something. What I can share with people is my own experience, what we went through, what worked, how we navigated the court system. And the other piece I want to get out there is I'm really uncomfortable with the black and white way that we talk about vaccines and injuries, you know, that either you're crazy and you say it causes autism or you're anti-vaccine. I'm pro-vaccine. I'm 100% pro-vaccine. And we know that every medication has a side effect. And I really would like to be a source of education and information for other parents to support them and connect with them.
So I know you're not a medical doctor, but the first thing that I start to think about after the phrase that you just gave us was, is there possibly a way to link, you know, is there a way to test a child before the vaccine to see if they would be susceptible or might have a side effect? I mean, to me, that would be maybe where the next step is headed.
That is such an insightful question, and I've rarely been asked that. That, to me, even as someone who studied neuropsychology and genetics, is where it needs to go. And the analogy I use is statins that are very broadly used to lower people's cholesterol and very positive in their effects have a side effect that has just started coming out, that 3-5% of people end up with dementia-like symptoms. Now, we don't know why that is. We don't know who exactly, but, boy, are they studying to try to figure out who's going to have that effect. Why aren't we doing the same thing with vaccines? And to me, a really logical place we could start is with the 5,000 children, my son being one, that the CDC themselves has said were brain damaged by these vaccines. The mysterious part to me is no one has ever reached out to us since we won our case and said, could we study some of the genetics of Porter and try to understand why he had this reaction?
Yeah, I think that that's testing that needs to
begin. It needs to happen.
Yeah, it seems kind of crazy to me that that's not something that we're working towards, although perhaps, and I'm not one of these conspiracy guys.
I'm not either.
You know, perhaps for a while, you know, the government not really willing to admit, you know, where things are headed or where they've been, might not want to be so aggressive or so proactive in something that they spent some time denying.
It's a really dicey situation. So think of it this way. If, you know, when we've had, God forbid, a terrible plane crash and Malaysian Airlines goes down, we would never allow Malaysian Airlines to be the ones investigating the crash. But that's essentially what happens with each of our kids who ends up brain damaged. The same program, the CDC's same program that promotes and mandates vaccines, also is responsible for evaluating whether they're safe or not. Now, I am not a conspiracy theorist, but there is no other industry that would be allowed in. No other industry. That is an inherent conflict of interest. And to me, when the CDC gets upset about trust issues people have with vaccines, I think it's time to look in the mirror and say, if we're going to be moral and rigorous about this, we'd take a step back and say, others need to be overseeing this program and studying what's going on. There's rare side effects. But, you know, we do have a situation where back in the 70s we had 1 in 10,000 kids with autism. The latest CDC stats are that 1 in 50 kids have autism. That's a problem. We need to be looking at what's going on with that.
Now, to be honest about this, Sarah and I wouldn't be talking if she hadn't had a book out, probably.
Yep.
Because they wouldn't have pitched this to me. So
yep.
I have to ask about the book itself.
Sure.
Is there a target market, or is this really something that every parent could get something out of?
It really, I think, is more in the latter category. Certainly, I've had many people who've had an experience with vaccines read it, or the other contingent is people raising a child with autism. I mean, again, 1 in 50 people has autism now. But what I'm hearing more and more from the readers is there's a connection just to, again, the whole experience of facing a problem that's really difficult, turning to community, turning to other people to get through that. And the commonality, the human universal in that experience, caregivers are reaching out to me talking about how much they related to pieces of it. So I think for parents it can be something that is really helpful to them.
Sarah, I greatly appreciate the time. Anything else you would add?
No, just that I'd love to hear from anybody who reads the book or has an interest in the topic. And the book's at Amazon, of course, but we also have a website, abadreaction.com.
Well, thanks again for the time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.